Welcome to Let's Talk About Life, a podcast brought to you by LifePath. Donation can be a complicated subject, but it is really all about life. Spend a few minutes as we unravel the complexities of donation. Let's talk about life.
The year is winding down, and we are coming to a time that I personally truly have been dreading. LifeBank CEO Gordon Bowen is ending his career in the organ procurement world at the end of 2024. Gordon has been a dedicated, pioneering, and compassionate leader for 24 years at LifeBank. But did you know that Gordon has spent his entire professional career in the field of organ, eye, and tissue donation? Hi. You're listening to episode 163 of Let's Talk About Life. I'm your host, Colleen Gerber, two-time kidney recipient and LifeBank staff member. Gordon, we're so honored to have you sitting down today with us to talk about your career, some of the highlights, your memories, and what the future holds. That's exciting, I think.
Oh, thanks, Colleen. Where do we start, right? It's been a great ride and 38 years doing the job that I've loved my whole life.
Well, it certainly has been a long and successful and happy career, but I'd like you to share with our listeners how you started in organ donation and why organ donation. You know, I'm sure you didn't dream about that when you were a kid. And how'd you get into it? How did it all start?
No, I mean, really, honestly, when I went to High Point University, I went in as a pre-med, and after determining I needed calculus and physics and all that stuff, which I hated, I said, you know what, I need to shift gears. But I always knew I wanted to help people, and I loved health, and I loved science, and I knew I wanted to get into that field. So I ended up getting my BS in biology at High Point University, and then I went back to Bowman Gray School of Medicine and got my med tech degree to work in a lab because I thought, oh, I love that. Be able, again, I'm helping people, diagnosing, whatever that could be, you know, with the lab standpoint. So I did that. I got my certificate as a med tech in like 1984. And then I went on a cruise with some fraternity brothers. And that's where I met my wife, Lisa.
Oh, boy.
I know, on a cruise, right? I'm still, yeah, like my dad always said, you're still paying for that vacation. You'll always pay for it. But she's the love of my life. And we will be married 40 years next year.
Wow.
And, but again, so we met, and then I started full-time after we had met, and then a year later, we ended up getting married. So I worked in the lab for a couple years, and then the in-house OPO at Baptist Hospitals, where I work in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, one floor above was the in-house OPO. So I would just, you know, during my lunch hour, I'd just ramble up and down the stairs and just check out where everything was at, And I just walked in the door one day and it just starts, hey, what are you guys doing? What are you about? And just kept going up there during lunch hour for quite some time. And then in October of 86, I transferred up
wow.
there as a procurement coordinator and worked there until 1988. And then I ended up leaving there and I went to Iowa. My wife's from Iowa. So again, decided to give her a little bit of love and go that way for a while. So they were starting up a new kidney transplant program at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines, Iowa. Again, same kind of thing. It was a level one trauma center, had its own kidney program. So I was able to see the recipients and see the donors.
Oh, how cool.
So some nights you would recover an organ, recover a kidney. Then the next day it would go to someone at Iowa Methodist. And then we'd get to follow that patient. So I got to go to clinic and see all that. So that was pretty rewarding because then you could see the circle of life, right?
Right.
So you're able to do all that. And while there, well, we had Caleb in North Carolina and moving to Iowa, we had Andrew. And then later on, we had Madeline in Ohio. So my kids are, you know, they're all, I don't know where they say they're from. Anyway, so I worked there. I got my master's in healthcare administration at Des Moines University. Then in 91, I left and went to UNOS. And there I was a regional administrator, which probably at the time was my favorite job because I was able to meet and be the liaison between UNOS and all the transplant centers, OPOs, and labs across the whole northern United States. I had four regions. So I got to know everybody. And you know what? Reflecting back on that, it just showed you across the United States all the passion that people have toward organ, eye, and tissue donation. I thought, you know, you're always thinking, oh, it's just North Carolina or it's just Iowa. But it's really the love for the mission. So I got to meet some great friends still today across there. So I did that for 2 years. in 1993, I became manager of the OPTN registry. You know, it's probably my least favorite job because there was no people contact.
Yeah, a lot of numbers,
all about data and collecting forms. And but again, it made me understand the industry better and about the importance of you know, credibility and data integrity and all that. So you know, knowing that I had covered Ohio as part of a regional administrator, I knew all the people here. Also knew that Ohio was halfway between North Carolina, where my family's from, and Lisa's family in Iowa. So really, I came to Columbus really for that reason. Plus, working for Lifeline of Ohio from 1995 to 2000, again, where we had Madeline, I was the director of procurement there. And again, got to see some, meet some great people there, learn the industry, transplant centers. And then in 2000, I was asked to come up here to LifeBank to be the assistant executive director. And I served in that role until 2005. And then I was interim CEO and then named CEO in 2006. And then I've been here CEO for 18 years now. And best job I've ever had, best people I've ever worked for and worked with, and just honored all the memories that I've had here.
It's amazing. You've touched on just about every aspect of organ and tissue donation and transplantation. Like nobody, you know, has that extensive experience. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
You know, when I went into the start in North Carolina, you know, you had to learn, again, I'm a med tech, so I'm not a nurse, right? So I had to learn how to manage donors. I had to learn how to do organ preservation. I had to get consent from families. I had to recover eyes and tissue. And we processed back during that time. We also did marketing and community outreach. But again, you were the only person on call 24/7, 7 days a week, never off call for those hospital, for that one trauma center. So you always had to be available. And so to be well-rounded, and I don't think you'll never see that again because everything's so specialized today. But it just made me, and I think it's helped me across the years to know of all the people we have here at LifeBank, what their jobs are. I did that. It's not the same, and it wouldn't be the same today, but I know enough to be dangerous, right?
Right.
So, and it makes me respect all the positions here at LifeBank.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. It really does take every individual, every team member to make this a success. It's so complicated, and there's so many steps in the process.
Right.
Yeah, there's not one person that you could go without, so... Wow, that's pretty impressive, Gordon.
And I know that you and I have a love for music, and I think I've told you this too, that I feel like over the years that I'm the conductor of the orchestra, but there's, you know, people want to hear the music. And the music comes from our LifeBank staff, our donor hospitals, our families, recipients, all that. They make the music. I'm just there waving the wand, right?
Yeah, great analogy. I love that. So over your 38 years, you've been really had a front row seat to how things have changed, not only in organ donation, but in transplantation. Of your time, what are some of the highlights that you'll remember forever as real milestones in the field?
Yeah, I think probably, you know, organ allocation. You know, when I started in North Carolina, you picked up the phone and you called somebody and said, hey, we have an organ. Do you want to come get it? Right. So your organ was placed in 5 minutes. And now, you know, it takes 24, 36 hours to place organs now. So I think that's part of it. And just looking at the whole process of how, you know, it's so specialized. And there's a lot of legalese. There's a lot of that going on as well. But I also think, too, being able to work with a great team, to do innovation and creative things across the years. I know here, one of our biggest accomplishments is the DCD donation. You know, as I think most people know, in 1997, there was a terrible article written about donation from 60 Minutes.
Right.
And it portrayed us as, you know, killing people and trying to do those kind of heinous things. And it's farthest thing from the truth. You know, the donation is a way to save and heal lives. And, you know, we lost 10 years to where we didn't have a donation after cardiac death policy. So to get that accomplished in 2006 and look where we are today, I just look back of how many donors we would have lost, how many people would have died waiting if we didn't have DCD donation, right?
Yeah.
And I think for me too, moving to this new building here in LifeBank in 2010, building a donor care facility that opened in 2016, 2017, And then one of my biggest highlights was hosting the United States Transplant Games here.
Oh, yeah, that was a great time.
Great week. Again, opportunity for the whole world and the country to come to Cleveland to see the great things we do here and to honor donation transplantation across the board. I mean, we have our own walk and run here. We had Over the Edge. We have donor memorial services. We do all the right things here. Mm-hmm. Make sure we take care and advertise the need for more organ and tissue donors. But oh my gosh, I can't. I mean, there's so many memories, so many stories. You know, every donor story keeps me coming back, right? People say, oh, you have a bad day. And I say, you know what? That day is no worse, can never be as bad as that donor family here.
Absolutely.
And that they lost a loved one today, right? So I've told people in this office, I said, it's not that bad. You know, I know it's a bad day maybe, but look at what this family just went through. Or look at someone who lost someone, died waiting. You know, it pales in comparison.
Absolutely. When I think I look back, you came a year after me, so I'm celebrating 25 years at Life Bank. And, you know, for me, some of the highlights were definitely the first face transplant with Connie Culp. That was unheard of. And Life Bank was really cutting edge on the working, of course, with the Cleveland Clinic. But I just remember all the preparation we had to go through to make that happen.
Right.
And what a remarkable accomplishment. Connie was a wonderful woman. She celebrated 10 plus years of her face transplant.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the uterus transplant program. You know, a whole new life.
Right.
Because of an organ donor. And these are things that, you know I will hold precious.
I agree completely. I mean, I love Connie. Connie was great, a great ambassador for us. I mean, to go what she went through and then go out into the public and speak about the need for more donors, right? And to be an ambassador for us. And there's so many of those stories out there. And I think, you know, innovation, research is key, right? I mean, you've got to keep moving forward. So you've got to do things differently. And, you know, the uterus transplant, the limb transplants, face transplants, you know, just trying to find a cure for diabetes. Whatever we need to do, LifeBank has always done those kind of things. And we've had support from our board and our transplant centers to keep always pushing the envelope because, again, 17, 18, 19 people die every day waiting because an organ's not available. We need to do everything we can to promote donation and transplantation and research so that we can ultimately eliminate the wait list.
But it's, you know, to me, it's not only a place of life, but it's a place of hope because those innovations do make a difference. You know, you may not be successful right away, but we have so many wonderful research people here, scientists that are working around the clock, really, to find ways to help people and get them off that waiting list.
Yeah, we've often said that, you know, a donor is a donor is a donor, right? I mean, no matter what, you know, we don't care if you're an organ, eye, or tissue donor, or research donor, whatever that is, you're there. You're the same to us, right? No matter what you donate, because we always say donation can happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime. So can transplantation or people waiting. So we have to have our A game going 24/7. Don't want anyone dying waiting, right?
Absolutely.
And we want to make sure that every family gets that TLC that they need from the Life Banks.
I want to switch it up on a personal level. You know, you've done some crazy things, Gordon. I remember off the top of my head the ice bucket challenge when that was a big deal. And you were out there willing to do that. What are some other highlights that you hold as a personal accomplishment or badge of honor?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Over the Edge is one of them. And I know we did the fundraiser called Fearless several years ago. And you know, when you think of Fearless or Over the Edge, you think of facing your fear, right? And my premise was I'm scared of heights. And I know when we did Over the Edge to rappel down 28 stories, and I think I did it three times. But again, you think about that 15 minutes that it takes to go down the wall, right? That over the edge. You think about, it's just 15 minutes. Think of all the people that wait years for an organ transplant and they fear that they won't even get a transplant or they'll die waiting. And it's a small price to pay. You face your fears in life. You overcome it, you persevere, and you keep pushing the envelope. And you set the example that if I can do it, other people can do it, right?
Right.
Because there's so many great fundraisers that we've done. Some of them are a little bit more low key. But again, at the end of the day, it's just about promotion and to be creative. I mean, again, Over the Edge was one of those very creative. People said, what are you doing? You're really doing that? And you pick great people, donor hospitals, transplant centers, the community, volunteers, donor families, recipients. They all go over, and they do it for a great cause. And just rewarding. Yeah, it's thrilling, but at the end of the day is but again, every day is like that at Life Bank because, you know, we're all tied to saving and healing lives. We get to go home every day saying, we directly and indirectly saved a life today.
Right.
There's nothing better than that.
No, you're right. But I will say, the 300-foot building, I mean, I won't even go up on the roof, so I give you a lot of credit. I mean, that's a big deal.
But it was for the donor families and recipients. That's why I'm here every day. And
yeah.
If that helps promote and gets more people registered, small price to pay.
Right, right. What a fabulous conversation with Gordon so far. We invite you back to the next episode when Gordon will share more insights into organ and tissue donation and what he plans for the immediate future. So tune in next time for Let's Talk About Life.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About Life. If you have questions about today's podcast, reach out to us at info@lifebank.org. Take a few minutes to do something heroic and register to be an organ donor by saying yes at lifebank.org. Literally, someone's life is depending on it.